This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba.
I'm a Muslim.
I am a Jewish.
I have no religion.
I'm Christian.
Reform Judaism.
I'm Catholic.
Muslim.
Not religious.
Buddhist.
Southern Baptist.
Hindu. Atheist.
Christian.
Agnostic.
Catholic.
Art is an important form of expression for many religions, but in the Russian Orthodox Church, it's more than just decoration. Small, elaborate paintings known as icons portray Christianity's most famous persons and are used as tools for prayer. Today, there are a number of artists who are neither Russian nor Russian Orthodox, but who nonetheless are pushing the boundaries of this religious art form. From New Hampshire, reporter Lisa Bartfai has the story about the passion of one of these change-making artists.
Sean Kramer is standing in front of a whiteboard in a large room lined with half-finished paintings and sculptures.
And in the icon, there's basically two parallel levels of symbolism going on at the same time. And the one is how it symbolizes us. So these are three parts of us. We all have body, soul, spirit. We all have a face, a mask face. And
Kramer learned the art of icon making in a class pretty much like this, and it changed his life. Now, he's sharing the technique with students like Christopher Goel and Kate Irvine.
So you want to think, after you've got the shapes, then you want to think, where's the bright spot? And start there and then just soften it away.
Oh, this is so complicated.
I know, it looks so simple.
I know.
Really, there's a lot to it.
Kramer's not Russian Orthodox, yet he's one of the people carrying on the more than 1,000-year-old art form, but in a new way. Traditionally, icons tell stories of the Bible's holiest people. These paintings are colorful, the images haunting, with contemplative, ethereal faces that beckon viewers to another world. But instead of only depicting characters from the Bible, Kramer mixes symbols and figures from religions all over the world. The content may be different, but the technique stays the same, always on wood, with an egg tempera paint made by hand.
So these are materials that I use to make paint.
He pulls out rocks and gemstones like malachite, lapis lazuli, and azurite from little plastic bags.
You can make colors from plants, but they tend to be more fugitive. They tend to fade. Whereas if you're just grinding up rocks, well, the rocks, you know, already might be millions of years old, so they're not going to fade. And so I'll just grind it, rub it on the surface like I'm rubbing on sandpaper. And then you have color.
Making paint is just one of the things that Kramer finds so meditative about icons. He also likes the symbolism.
They take things from all parts of the world, from the mineral world, from the plant world, the animal world, put them together in a way that shows us what they really are, that the world is a temple.
Painting has always been a passion. It started when he was an art-loving kid growing up in San Francisco. He went to art school for college, intending to pursue it as a career, until one day he had a conversation with a classmate.
We talked and he gave me some writings by some artists about this kind of total dedication to art. And I realized I couldn't do that. I had a lot of other aspects of myself and questions, like about life and the world. And I couldn't just settle on art. Art had to be a, kind of about something.
So Kramer left art school and started a great books program. There, he read the important works of Western thought, Aristotle, Plato, Newton, Einstein, from cover to cover. The school also offered spiritual retreats.
So I developed a meditation practice there. And so then I wanted to continue that spiritual life. So I went to spend many years in different monasteries.
He spent the next 10 years as a monk in Massachusetts and South Dakota, and abroad in Nova Scotia, Portugal, and Brazil. But while he was deepening his religious practice, he wasn't making art, and he missed it. Monastery life also wasn't completely satisfying. He decided to live as a hermit.
I went out to Colorado and just told people what I was looking for, and I was drawn there because of the Rocky Mountains and the landscape. And eventually these ranchers said, well, we'll let you put you in one of these trailers and just bring you food once a week. And so I did that for a while and then found some other places to live kind of like that, where I could live in a cabin or trailer. And it was while I was doing that that some people encouraged me to go to a workshop by a Russian icon painter.
Initially, Kramer wasn't interested, but he went anyway. The class was taught by a Russian master iconographer. And much to Kramer's surprise, it resonated.
And I liked the idea of being immersed in a tradition, like an art tradition that has developed a whole set of like visual techniques and symbols to solve a spiritual problem, how to represent some spiritual reality.
He'd found that something he'd been looking for since art school, an art form that was also a spiritual practice. The desire to learn more about icons was so strong that he left his solitude in Colorado. He went to the East Coast to take more classes. Kramer studied with several different iconographers, all of them Russian. It was no coincidence that so many artists ended up in the U.S. where Kramer could learn from them. It was difficult to openly practice a craft during the Soviet era that lasted for most of the 20th century. Many churches and the icons in them were confiscated, sold, or destroyed during that time. Paintings were smuggled out of the country for safekeeping, says Kent Russell. He's the curator and CEO of the Museum of Russian Icons in Clinton, Massachusetts.
And so this icon survived the Soviet period because a lot of old grandmothers, babushkas, would hide these under their bed, almost as a political protest.
The museum is an 150-year-old building. The walls are dark gray and covered with icons. Pictures hang close together in little clusters. Subtle lights shift from green to red to blue in the gallery, mimicking the light filtering through the stained glass of a cathedral. It feels different than most art museums, more like the churches where they hung before, where churchgoers used icons to pray on. Russell describes the meaning of icons.
It's less art and more visual text, more illuminated manuscript, and more tool for prayer and contemplation than it is in the traditional sense, the way the Mona Lisa is a beautiful painting.
The Soviet era threatened icon artistry, making museums like this important guardians of the tradition. Through Russian teachers who came here, it made its way to artists like Sean Kramer. And because of people like him, it has now left the confines of museums and spread to some churches that aren't even Russian Orthodox. About 30 people are gathered for Mass at the All Saints Anglican Church in Concord, New Hampshire. The church lies tucked into a strip mall in what used to be a karate studio. But all that's hard to imagine now. It's full of old wooden pews, candles, and religious art. Father Christian Tudor is All Saints rector and priest. He wants a worship space where everything harmonizes.
I wanted for our people to have images that were peculiar to our own worship space and actually made to fit our own worship space. So when you come in and you stand and you look into the sanctuary, you will see that everything harmonizes with each other. The windows, the images, the icons, the altar itself.
Tudor came across Kramer's art at a fair in New Hampshire. For him, it was a perfect fit, and he commissioned two icons. One took the shape of the altar cross. It shows a crucified Christ dressed in a priest's robe. At the bottom is a phoenix rising from the ashes. This is part of Kramer's experimentation with icons, bringing in symbols from other cultures.
And so you have at the very bottom of the altar cross, you have the phoenix also rising. So it's a wonderful, it's all types of images that you look, you get your Bible, you take it apart and go, wow.
Tudor uses Kramer's icons to teach little kids stories from the Bible. they also serve a purpose for adults.
When someone walks in to a well-appointed church that has, you know, all of this imagery, all of this glory that is presented, it's meant to uplift the heart to say, it's going to be all right. It will be all right.
There's a painting leaning against the wall of Sean Kramer's studio in New Hampshire. It looks like a traditional icon at first glance. There's a woman with a halo at the center of it. The face is long and the eyes big, in the typical style of icons. But there's something different. Kramer is using his deep knowledge of religion to add symbols from cultures outside the Russian Orthodox Church.
There's a woman inside of it, and then in the center of a woman is a mandala, which is actually a Hindu yantra. And above her two hands are the Tibetan symbols called the Vajra and the Ganta.
The yantra is a tool for meditation. The Vajra and Ganta point to the creation of the universe and what was before. This icon is another example of how Kramer is using traditional technique to create new, evocative images. The image of the Buddha is a model for Kramer.
Like the Buddha image, just the man sitting in contemplation, you know, has had such a great power to like give people an idea of what they can become.
The practice of painting is helping Kramer achieve a state of wonder and openness. That's what he wants to inspire in other people through his art.
And a big part of doing that is giving us images that will help us kind of awaken us to the universe or to our next steps, that, and maybe it will take us a lot of time, or maybe we'll never be able to totally articulate in words what is contained in those images, but that they act upon us and like heal us, help us grow.
It's now almost a decade since an icon workshop changed Sean Kramer's life. It's given him a way to connect his spiritual search with his love for painting. He uses the art form to help him and us meditate on life's biggest questions. That is, where we come from and where we're going. For The Spiritual Edge, I'm Lisa Bartfai in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
That story is part of KALW's project, The Spiritual Edge. To hear more, visit KALW.org and click on The Spiritual Edge.